Archer will say, good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur this morning, our shiurim this month are dedicated by Yonason and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, in loving memory of Rachel's mother, Chaya Bas Moshe, as well as our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Elul, Benny Goldberg, dedicating the shiur in memory of his parents, Avram ben Asher Pinchas, Fegara Isla Bas Zelig, and in the hopes that all of the Serubin Mishpacha had their tefillos answered over the Yomim Noraim. So with that, let's begin. An incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Chaf Beis. So we are up to, we're picking up actually the bottom of Chaf Aleph on the base 21B. We are picking up five lines up from the bottom. So remember again, yesterday we ended off with a really fascinating sugya. So remember again, very important gemara that we've been learning. We've been focusing on the fact, first of all, we've seen that blood really falls into three different categories. There is blood which is punishable by karis, or I could say consumption of blood which is punishable by karis, consumption of blood which is punishable by a lav, and consumption of blood which seems to be totally permitted, but may be prohibited alts maris ayin. In the last categories that we ended off with yesterday, specifically human blood, which ultimately is only usher in terms of maris ayin, therefore again only going to be usher if it detaches from, if it is detached from the body. Fish blood, which is totally permitted, unless, of course, what? It is gathered in a bowl, but have no fear. Even if it's gathered in a bowl, you could still enjoy your fish blood as long as you put scales there, right? So people should know, good to know, so people should know, ultimately, again, that it is fish blood and not something else. So I'll say, continuing on that theme a little bit, says the Gemara, I'm going to have Sheshes. If Sheshes says, and I will say, of course, again, we don't have to review it again, but we saw the four criteria that ultimately, again, are necessary in order for blood to fall into the kares category. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Dam Mahal Chishtayim, so the Gemara says, blood of those who walk on two. Which was, of course, means human blood. So human blood, Afilu Mitzvahs Parosh Embo. You don't even have to go ahead and distance yourself from it, which means that it is totally permitted. Meisveis, Gemara says, is that true? Hadama Tachol, Dama Leib, Dama Klaios, Dama Ibarim, blood of the spleen, blood of the heart, blood of the kidneys, blood that is absorbed in different limbs, hare ilo below sasa. Ultimately, again, this blood is subject to a prohibition alaf, dam halchishtayim, dam shrotzim v'ramasim, aser bin chayim alof. But human blood, the blood of shrotzim and ramasim, is aser, but ultimately, again, you're not chayim for it. Which Rabbi Osai sounds like what? Kitanya aser. Kitanya aser. To which the Gemara says, when it says aser, top of Chaf Beis, the perish. Ki kamarav bidalo perish. So we'll say, ultimately, again, when we speak, so Bryce, remember, the Bryce that contradicts, because the Bryce that seems to indicate that human blood is aser. When is human blood aser? When it is separate from the body. Right? So when blood is separated from the body, we'll say, right, Mary in the paradigmatic case, so that is what? I take a bite into the piece of bread, and again, there's blood on the bread. So with this blood on the bread, it's quote-unquote aser. Now remember, again, aser is aser d'rabanon, because of maris ayin. When is it permitted? It's ultimately permitted when it's still on my body. Either as we saw, blood in the gums that you could swallow, or even a cut that you can go ahead and put the affected area in your mouth in order to suck on the blood. That's all fine. To which the Gemara says, "Kidisanya dam shal gabi akikar." If you find blood on top of the loaf, i.e., I bit into the loaf and I find blood on the loaf. Go to Rova Ochlo, you scrape it off, and you can eat the rest of the bread. Shabin Ashinaim, if you have blood in between your teeth. Motseitz Ubolea, you could suck it, meaning you could, I don't know what the right word is, you know, you could swallow it. Motseitz means you could swallow it. Ve'ino Choshesh, and ultimately, again, you need not be concerned for consumption of blood. Igu Demasi Lahadar Rav Sheshes Al Hada. Others explain Rav Sheshes' statement on the following. Disanya, Yochol Cholov. This is actually interesting. So others have a different version of Rav Sheshes' statement. To remember again, Rav Sheshes said that human blood is, he says, Afilu Mitzas Parush Inbo, which means Rabbi said there's not even like an Isser Dirabanan. There's not even an Isser Dirabanan on human blood. So remember again, we've qualified that statement to mean there's no Isser Dirabanan as long as it's on or part of the body. The Isser Dirabanan, i.e. the Maris Ayin, sets in when it's detached. Others explain, they have a different version of Rav Sheshes, that Rav Sheshes wasn't referring to human blood, instead he was referring to human milk. So the Gemara says, Ikud HaMasal Adar Rav Sheshes Al Adar, Disanya, Yachol Cholov Mahalchi Shtayim Ye Ochlo Over Belav. I might have thought that if someone drinks human milk, that they should be over on a lav. Should be over on a lav. V'dinu. The Gemara says, I can make a Kavach Omer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Ma behema tmeya, she calls b'maga hech marta b'chalba. But when it comes to a non-kosher animal, where you are makel with maga. Now Rashi explains, what does it mean? He called it maga. It's the second wide line from the top in Rashi. She'in bazivos v'nidos. So we'll say, so for example, animals can't transmit tumah with any type of emission. Human beings can, right? Zava, nida, animals don't have that capacity. So an animal which cannot go ahead and transmit tumah, the Gemara is calling this maga. The maga, you know, we normally mean maga as touching. Here it's touching an emission. So an animal cannot transmit any type of tumah through contact with an emission. Hechmarta b'chalba. Yet again, the milk of a non-kosher animal, of a behemoth tamea, ultimately again is prohibited. So a human being which can convey tumah through some type of discharge, certainly human milk should be aser. Therefore the pasuk says, this shall be tamei for you. This is tamei, but the milk, human milk, is not tamei. Ella tahar. Rather, again, human milk is permitted. So remember, again, we have had a discussion of human milk before in Chulin, but there the discussion was about Eber Min Achai, interestingly enough. But again, so the Gemara says, Ella, Tar, Otsias Achalav, She'in Shava B'chol. But one second, maybe I'll say, maybe human milk is going to be mutter. But the otzi dam, because it will say milk is not something, of course, that is found in all human beings. But the otzi hadam sheshav b'chol. But maybe blood of human blood should be aser. Ultimately, again, why? Because it's shav b'chol. It applies to everyone. Talmud Omar v'zeh lochem hatamei. Zeh tamei. This is tamei. Ve'in dam amahalchei shtayim tamei elatar. But the blood, ultimately, again, of human beings is not tamei. Rather, it is tahar. Rav Sheshes says, afilu mitzvas parosh inbo. The Rav Sheshes again, Avose, says that what? There's not even an obligation to distance yourself from human blood. So just two different Brysos. In Bryson number one, Rav Sheshes was just talking about blood and said you don't even have to separate. There's no prohibition when it comes to human blood. In Bryson number two, Rav Sheshes' statement was just part of a conversation that actually began with a discussion about the status of human milk. And then again, that Bryson said milk is totally permitted. And then ultimately, again, ended with a conversation about blood in which Rav Sheshes once again said, afilu mitzvas parashim. And I will say, this is Shitas Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes holds when it comes to human blood, there's not even an Isser Dirabanan. There's not even an Isser Dirabanan. So the Gemara just clarifies that. There's not, meaning I will say, if you get a cut, there's no midos chasidos not to put that cut in your mouth. There's no midos chasidos like that, right? You have blood in your gums. There's no midos chasidos not to swallow. I mean, you don't have to swallow the blood, but there's no midos chasidos dafka not to do that. That's the midos parashba. Obviously, again, as we said many times, once the blood becomes detached from the body, like in the case of the bread, then already you have a different issue of maris ayin. That's already something a little bit different. But me'ikradin afilu mitzas parosh in bo. Tanan hasam. Here we go. I'll say another interesting case. Halev. Koro omotzias damo. Also, when it comes to the heart of an animal, now, remember again, we spoke about this extensively in Chulin. Because preparing a heart for consumption is actually an interesting discussion, because of the blood that is absorbed. So the Gemara here is going to discuss this as well. Tanan hasam halev, when it comes to the heart, koro umotzi es damo. So I will say the way you go ahead and you prepare the heart is you literally tear it. I will say tear it means you cut it in order to extract the blood. Lo karo, if ultimately again you did not cut it, then what? Then eno over alav. Then ultimately, if you didn't cut it, and then you ended up eating the heart, so you're not chayev for consumption of blood. So it says the Gemara, Amar Bizir Amarav. So let's analyze this. What do you mean not chayev? How can you not be chayev for the consumption of blood? And again, we'll say Marashach. We tear the heart because ultimately, again, we assume that there's a significant amount of blood absorbed. Therefore, you tear the heart in order to extract the blood. Then you tell me that if you go ahead and you prepare the heart, you eat it without having cut it, you're not chayev for blood consumption. I don't understand. That's a steer on me, Neobay. To which the Gemara says, no. Amarav, lo shano ela belave oaf. We'll say, what type of heart are we talking about over here? Chicken hearts, right? Or it's not just chicken, I should say. Oh, fowl. right, the hearts are foul, to which the Gemara says, that why? Because all the inbo kizayis. Because again, the hearts are smaller, and therefore again, the heart of a fowl, of a bird, does not contain a kizayis of blood. So therefore, ideally when preparing it, we want you to cut it, extract the blood. But in the event that you did not do so, and you prepared it, and you ate it, you're not going to be chayav for blood consumption. Why? Because the assumption is that there's less than a kizayis of blood in the heart. Avalev behema, but animal hearts, the yeshbo kizayis, which does have a kizayis of blood in it, then what? Aser v'chayav and alav kares. We'll say ultimately what? If you go ahead and you eat it, right? If you go ahead and you eat it without having first cut it and extracted the blood, it is aser. And if you were to eat it, you would be chayav kares for blood consumption. Says the Gemara. We'll say so far the distinction we're making is like this. When it comes to hearts of foul hearts, doesn't sound right? Not right. Foul hearts. Then the halacha is ideally you're supposed to cut it to extract blood. If you didn't do so and you prepared it and you ate it, then what's the halacha? You're okay. Why? No iser kares. Why? Because not a kizayis of blood. Animal hearts, you have to cut it, extract blood. If you did not do so, prepared it and ate it, then halacha lemaisa, you would be chayav kares because the assumption is that you consumed a kizayis of blood. May say the Gemara raises the kasha, dam hatochol, dam haleiv, dam haklayos, dam ha'ivarim. If you have blood of the spleen, blood from the heart, blood from the kidneys, blood absorbed in limbs, hare ilo below sasa. Ultimately, again, this type of blood is only prohibited through a prohibition. It's a lav, I will say. It's a lav. Dam mahal cheshtayim, shkatsim viramasim, asr ve'in chayav and alav. But the blood of human blood of shkatsim and ramasim is asr, and there's no chiyuv at all. I will say, so what do you see from me? Why is this a meisvei? Because remember, what did we just say before? If you don't tear the animal heart and you eat it, the Gemara just said, what's the halacha? You chayv kares. Because we assume that what? That you consumed a kizayis of blood. Consumed the kizayis of blood. Yet according to this price, so what's the halacha? If you consume heart blood, I'll say ultimately what? Chayavin, I'm sorry. The price has said, you're chayavin below sase. It's a lav. So which one is it? Is it alive or is it? I mean, everybody's agreeing that if you consume the heart without extracting the blood, you are chayiv. We just said before you're chayiv kares. Now the Brisa says you're chayiv alav. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says ki katani in chayiv in alav al dam delay. So the Gemara says ki ka amarav da asi le ma'alma. Well, I'll say everything depends on which heart blood you are referring to. This is very interesting. When we said ultimately again that you are not chayiv kares, but only chayiv on a lav, that's dam delay. That is the heart, that is the blood that is absorbed into the heart itself. When do we say ultimately again that you're chayiv for kares for consumption of blood? That is blood that was pumped through the heart, but still is found in the heart at the time that the animal is slaughtered, or at the time that the heart is prepared. Look at Rashi, this is actually quite interesting. Dam delay. Hanivla bebasar halev, kishar dam hanivla beivaram. So we'll say blood that is absorbed in the flesh, or I should say in the organ of the heart itself, sahala in the basar, so we'll say that's dam heivaram. So in general, as we're going to now clarify, any blood absorbed in limbs is asr, but it's a lav. It's not kari. So we'll say just a very important principle. Why is that? The only time that you are chayiv kares for blood is when it's dam nefesh, lifeblood, as we're going to see. So we'll say, so the assumption is blood that is absorbed in a limb is not lifeblood. It's not lifeblood. So therefore, the Gemara makes a distinction between two types of cardiac blood. Blood that is absorbed in the actual basar of the heart, that's called dam he'ivarim, right? That's called limb blood. Limb blood is asr ana with a lav, but not a iser kares. When do we say that if you eat the heart without going ahead and extracting the blood, you're going to be chayiv kares? That's the, look at Rashi just a moment. That's dam dasile ma'alma osanitsa b'chalal halev. Well, this is very interesting. That is blood that is found in the heart cavity. In the heart cavity. Blood that's found in the heart cavity presumably is the blood that the heart was pumping throughout the rest of the body. So whatever blood is found in that blood cavity, if you eat that blood, that's dam hanefesh, that's life blood. And halacha lemaisa, if you consume it, you'll be chayiv kares. Quite fascinating. Says the Gemara, dam delay, haynu dam evarim. But one second, when we say dam delay, it's blood that refers. That's limb blood, blood that is absorbed in the heart itself. Ulatameich. So Rabbi says, the Gemara says, if that's the case, the brisa seems to be repetitive. The brisa says blood of the heart and blood of limbs. Blood of the heart and blood of limbs are only usur. It's alav, not karis. To which the Gemara says, honestly, you're just telling me now that the blood of the heart is the same thing as the blood of the limbs. So why do you have to mention both? Ulatameich milo katani dam klayos vikatani dam evarim. Also, but you can ask the same question when it comes to kidney blood. The brisa says kidney blood, and then it also says limb blood. Kidney blood, we assume we're talking about what? Is the blood absorbed in the kidneys themselves? Seems a bit repetitive. Ella tani vahader, tani vahader tani. Hachanami, tani vahader tani. We'll say ultimately again, halacha lamaisa. Right, the brisa is a bit repetitive. The brisa gives examples of dam evarim. So what's an example of dam evarim? Is dam halev, dam atachol, dam aklayos. This is considered to be limb blood. This is blood absorbed in these organs. And then it uses a generic statement of dam ha'ivarim. Einachinami, it is the same thing. It's a bit repetitive, but that's the style to which the Gemara says. But so we speak about this blood that comes from the body. Where exactly is it coming from? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeira, Bishash Hanashama Yotza Mishraf Sharif. It was actually quite interesting. At the time that the animal is being slaughtered and dying, so apparently again in one last burst of vitality, what ends up happening is I guess the heart gives like one more pump. And in that extra pump, ultimately again, there is blood that is left inside of the heart cavity. Look at Mishraf. So we'll say, this is really quite fascinating. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, just to make the laws of blood even just a bit more complicated, it turns out that, again, there could be times where you consume heart blood and it's alav, and times when you consume heart blood and it's kares. Right? If it's blood that's absorbed into the heart itself, that is a lav. If it is blood that is found in the cavity of the heart, that is dam neshama, that's called lifeblood, and ultimately, again, one would be chayiv kares for that. And in fact, I will say that's ultimately, again, how the Shulchan Aruch itself paskins. I'll quote you the Rambam. The Rambam says, halev, yeah, he says, the Gemara says, halev, just read this here quickly, the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, halev, the heart, bein litzli, bein likadera, koro motzias damo, vachakach mocho, just in heart preparation. I don't know what your dinner plans are for tonight. But again, I'll say, but for heart preparation, so what do? You have to tear the heart. I'll say, remember again, there are certain things like the heart and the liver, which are considered to be filled with so much blood that there is some level of prior preparation that is required. So again, so the heart, what do you have to do? You take it out, obviously, right? Good to take it out. You tear it, extract the blood, then you salt it. Then if you cook the heart but you didn't first cut it, you tear it afterwards and allow whatever blood to come out, and it's mutter. And if you did not tear it, and you ate it, you're not chayiv karis. But medra amurim, both say, when are you not chayiv karis? It's good to know. Believe ha'of, she'in bo kizayis dam. When are you not chayiv karis? Ultimately, again, with a bird heart, right? Fowl heart, because ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, there's assumption that there's not a kizayis of blood in there. Avam haya leiv behema, chayiv karis. But I will say, if you prepared an animal heart and you did not cut it and extract the blood and then ate it, you are chas shom chayiv karis, shari yesh bo kizayis midam shebeso chalev shechayam. Because we assume that there is a kizayis of what we'll call it chamber heart, chamber blood, right? Cavity blood is the better word, inside of that heart that you are now consuming. So the Rambam pretty much paskins exactly as we saw the Gemara over here. Good, let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, B'shah shanashama yotze mishraf, I'm sorry, dam shanashama yotze bochayav and alav. So let's remember again, so the Mishnah already taught me that what type of lifeblood, what type of blood are you chayiv for? Only lifeblood. So it says the Gemara, dam shanashama yotze bochayav. So only blood which life ends with are you chayiv. Well, this is very important. This is why, again, blood that's absorbed in limbs, you're not chayiv for. only blood that is considered to be lifeblood. Itmar, Ezu Dama Kaza Shana Shama Tuliva. So we'll say, remember, one of the examples was bloodletting, right? So what's considered to be a case of bloodletting? Where the blood, ultimately, again, you'll be chayiv kares for if you consume it. In other words, when the animal is bleeding out, which type of blood ultimately is dam ha-nefesh? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kozman Shemekalech. Rabbi Yochanan said, as long as the blood is spurting. So we'll say, remember again, if you've ever seen an animal slaughtered, so actually look at Rashi. Rashi explains this very beautifully. Right, dam ha-kaza, Rashi says, Betchila Shachar, in the beginning when the blood first comes out, it's actually black. Right? The first burst, the blood is black. Then it's red. So Rashi explains over here, this is how when shechting an animal, or right, when but it's not just shechita, anytime pretty much you're killing the animal with the simanim. Because remember, the Mishnah gave three different examples. You could shecht an animal, you could stab its simanim, or you could pull out the simanim. Whenever the animal is dying because of the simanim, the way the blood exits the body is as follows. First the blood is black, then it turns red. But the color is not so important for us. What's more important for us now, I'll say, is as follows. When the blood first comes out, first there is a trickle. After there is a trickle, there is then a spurt. That spurt continues for a certain amount of time. Then it slows down to a trickle again. This progression is very important. So says the Gemara, here we go. So what's lifeblood? Right? Out of all this blood, what's lifeblood? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar calls Matcha Mekalech. Rabbi Yochanan says, whenever the blood is spurting. So we'll say spurting means like with a koach. So whenever the blood is spurting, as opposed to the two terms we'll use are spurting and trickling. I don't know if spurting is the right word, but okay. Right? Whenever it's coming out with a koach, so that ultimately, again, that's dam ha-nefesh. Trickling is not dam ha-nefesh. Rish Lakish, Amr Rish Lakish, I'll tell you a different halacha. Mitipa mishacharis ve'ilech. In fact, it's ultimately, again, from the first drop of black blood, right? Actually, I should take it differently. Rish Lakish says, it's from the time that the black blood ends, essentially, say it differently, from the time the blood becomes red and on. So according to Rish Lakish, black blood is not dam ha-nefesh. It's not dam ha-nefesh. Only once the red blood comes out, then it's dam ha-nefesh. So the Gemara says, Meisve. So we'll say, interesting machlokes over here. So Rabbi Yochanan, so Rish Lakish hinges it on color, right? On color has to be red blood. Rabbi Yochanan hinges it on force. Now the truth is, they're actually not disagreeing all that much because, as Rashi just pointed out, the black blood trickles out; it doesn't spurt. So, because of that halacha lemaisa, they're not so far off. As we're going to see, meisve ezu damakaz shana shama yotzebo. What is considered to be lifeblood? Kol shemekaleach, kol zman shemekaleach. As long as ultimately, again, it is flowing out. Yatsa damatamtsis mipnei shushos. Yatsa damatamtsis mipnei shushosis. They both say this excludes damatamtsis. So again, the lashon over here that the Brice uses is mikaleach. Mikaleach means flowing. Flowing doesn't seem to be at the same level of intensity as spurting, but ultimately, again, it means that there is a steady flow as opposed to a trickle. To which the Gemara says, Yatsa damatamtsis. This excludes the damatamtsis. We also remember again, damatamtsis is the name of the blood that we no longer consider lifeblood, right? It's the slower trickle of blood that comes out after the more intense burst of lifeblood. Because it trickles, so Neshu Sho says, my love afilo rishon va'acharon, the Sho says, suki damatam, says dummy. So we'll say, do we not say that the initial blood that comes out of the animal, as well as the last blood that comes out of the animal, is also not going to be considered dama nefesh because it trickles, just like damatamsis, to which the Gemara says, to you of the Reish Lakish, this would seem to refute Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish seems to indicate that any blood that comes out after the black blood, right, any blood that comes out after the black blood, sahalocha lemaisa again, should be usur. Yet we see over here that that's not the case, to which the Gemara says, lo, lemi'ute dam ha-mashchir. Ultimately, again, it only comes to exclude the black blood. Aval dam rishon va'achron af agav dusho says, Hainu dama nefesh. Rav Osir Reish Lakish would say that Allah said the first burst of blood after the black blood, as well as the later flows of blood, will still be asur. The Gemara says, Meisvei, Eizu Dam Rishon, what is considered to be the first blood of the animal, Kozman Shemekaleach, as long as ultimately, again, it's spurting out, Yatzar Rishon V'Achron, this would come to exclude the first blood that comes out, as well as the last blood that comes out. Why? Mipnei Shu Shoseis, ultimately, because that blood trickles, it doesn't flow. To Yufte Reish Lakish, this would seem to refute Reish Lakish's position. Amar the Reish Lakish would say Tanaihi. In reality, this whole thing is a Mechlokis Tanoim. This Sanya, because we learned, Ezu Dam HaNefesh, what is Dam HaNefesh? Calls Masha Mekaleach, the Rebbe Lozer. Rebbe Lozer says, as long as the blood is flowing, right, flowing, spurting, Shalach HaLamaisa, again, that is called Dam HaNefesh. Dear Rabbi Eliezer, so understand, in this model, the spurting itself is reflective of the vitality of the animal, right? The idea over here is that this is Dam HaNefesh. This is the lifeblood. It is with this blood that the animal is actively dying. So Rabbi Shimon, Omer Mitipa Mishachar, Rabbi Shimon says, it's black blood doesn't count as lifeblood. Black blood doesn't count as lifeblood, but Allah say anything after the black blood is considered to be lifeblood. Tana debay Rabbi Yishmael, v'dam chalalim yishter. Well, the Gemara switches gears here for just a moment. The pasuk says, dam chalalim yishter, right? In Bamidbar. Pasuk says, he will drink the blood of chalalim. Chalalim are carcasses, right? So we'll say, it's actually very interesting. Prat ledam kiluach, Sheino machshes hazraim. This comes to exclude Rabbi Osai, the dam kiluach. Dam kiluach, remember again, is the lifeblood. Rashi says, prat le dam kiluach. So actually, let me just point out to you, look at the previous Rashi. Dam chalolim yishteh. What is the Gemara doing with this pasuk? Dam hayotzi mina chalolim kilomar la'achar misa karoi mashke. Rabbi Osai, the Gemara is using this pasuk something dramatically different. Blood is one of the liquids which ultimately, again, can be machshir something lekabel tumah. What type of blood is considered to be a mashke? So the Gemara says, dam chalolim yishta. If you drink the, right, he drank the blood of the corpses. So we'll say, what do you see from here? It's the blood of a corpse, which is considered to be a mashke. What does it mean, the blood of a corpse? Prat ledam kiluach. Rabbo said, this comes to exclude lifeblood. Lifeblood, she'en amachshir sazra. Rabbo said, it's actually quite amazing. So lifeblood does not work as a mashke, as a liquid, to be machshir something for tumah. What does that mean? That what's the mashke? Only blood that comes from something that is already dead. But blood that comes from something which is in the process of dying, right? Halacha lemaisa, it is not machshir something the kabbal tumah. I just want to point out, the Gemara is bringing in two unrelated halachos, which actually deal with two different types of blood. See, we're talking about over here, what type of blood are you chayiv karis for? So everybody's going to agree with what type of blood are you chayiv karis for? What type of blood? Dam shanefesh yotzi, right? Right? Lifeblood. The machlokes is, what's lifeblood, right? Which blood is considered to be life? But everybody's agreeing that it's lifeblood that you're chayiv for. The Gemara just transitions here for just a moment. Says, by the way, blood also has another halacha, which is that it acts as a liquid that readies something to receive tumah. Which type of blood acts in that capacity? As long as blood is a mashke, it's a drink. What type of blood is a mashke? We have a pasuk, bless you. Dam chalolim yishta. He drinks the blood of corpses, which tells you what? It's only blood that comes from a corpse, i.e. something that is already dead, which acts as a mashke, which by definition excludes what? Lifeblood. Lifeblood. So just pointing out, so lifeblood cannot ultimately act as a mashke to be machshir something lekabel tumah. Only blood that comes from the corpse, i.e. something that is already dead, acts as a mashke. So we'll say that was kind of like just like a blood commercial break. So it says the Gemara. So we'll say, what happens if halacha lamai? So you took blood from an animal and you receive the blood in two cups. What's the halacha? In other words, what are you chayiv, not chayiv? One, the first one, second one. So what's the halacha? Arishon divrei akol chayiv. Everyone agrees that the blood in the first cup, you're going to be chayiv because that's lifeblood. Ala achron mi mechayiv alo. Are you chayiv for the second cup as well? Amar lei plukti Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Tzmach lokes v'itmar hikis dom lebehema v'kibel dom abishnei kosos. If you went ahead and you took blood from an animal and you caught it in two cups, Reish Lakish amar chayiv shtei chatos. Reish Lakish says each cup is its own prohibition. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einu Chayiv Ela Achas. Rabbi Yochanan says that Halacha Lamaisa, you're only Chayiv once. So we'll say, so Halacha Lamaisa over here. So again, we end off with the Machlokes. fundamentally have machlokes at what the definition of dam hakaza, of dam hanefesh is. I'm going to tell you the Rambam in just a moment. Let's get to the Mishnah. So the Gemara goes right. Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv b'dam hatamsis. Rabbi Yehuda says that chayiv even for dam hatamsis, even for the blood which flows out afterwards. Amar b'lazer, mod Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan kapara. But even Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi also, when it comes to here's a third application of blood. So far we've seen blood vis-a-vis its liability for consumption. We've seen blood vis-a-vis its ability to serve as a mashke, to be machshir something like kabal tuma. And then there's the carbonic identity of blood, where blood is applied on the mizbeach. So Rabbi says, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that for kapara purposes, for application on the mizbeach purposes, that halacha l'maaseh you have to use dam hanefesh. You can't use dam hatamsis. Shenemar, ki adam hu benefesh shichaper. Dam shanefesh yotzi bo mechaper, v'she'in hanefesh bo in mechaper. It is only blood. It is only blood. That ultimately, again, the soul comes out with lifeblood that can be used for kapara on the mizbeach, but non-lifeblood cannot be used. I'm going to afana nami tanina. You also learn this. The sanya dam matam alomar kol dam. The fishinemar ki adam hu benefesh yichaper. Ein li ela dam kochim shanefesh yotzei bo shu mechaper. Dam chulin v'dam tamtzis minayin. Suppose I only know that halacha lemaisa, that ultimately, again, lifeblood has applications for carbonic purposes. It has to be used for the zrika, for the blood applications. How do I know that halacha lemaisa, dam shanefesh yotzebo, that lifeblood is also problematic if you consume it, or dam tamtzis, that if you consume it, yichayiv karis, tamalomar, kol dam. Pasuk says any blood, stam sifra money. And Abbas, when you see a stam sifra, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yehuda. So even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Allah Chalamai said damat hamsis is subject to kares, will agree that for carbonic purposes, Allah Chalamai said what? You can only use dam hanafesh. So Rabbi said Allah Chalamai said. So ultimately, again, what type of blood are you chayiv kares for? This is Rabbi said. So just it's good news over here. Everybody does agree that when it comes to blood applications on the mizbeach, either sprinkling or actual smearing of blood on the mizbeach, that you can only use dam hanafesh. Now, of course, that's great. Except the only question is, what is dam hanefesh? It says the Rambam. Here we go. Ma'acholos asuros, perek vav halacha gimel. Ein chayovin kares ela al dam hayotze bishas shchita unechira o hatazas harosh kol zman shiyesh bo admumis. So the Rambam goes with the color criteria. Right? The Rambam goes with the color criteria. That halacha lemaisa, you only chayiv kares for blood. Above, this is very important. What type of blood? It's only blood that comes out at the time of shechita or nechira or cutting off of the head. Which Rabbi Yosef tells you what? It's also only blood that comes from the neck. In other words, if you kill an animal, like by stabbing it in its stomach, and it bleeds out there, the Rambam will say that blood is usher, there's a lav, but that is not kares blood. Kari's blood is only blood that comes from the neck. Now, lav dafka, that it has to come from shechita, right? It could come from decapitating the animal, it could come from stabbing the animal in the simonim. But Allah Chalamai said, that's the lifeblood. Va'ala adam akonos b'leiv, va'atzabosai said that, and again, the Rambam understands, it's called dam shanefesh yotzeba, as long as what? It's red. So essentially, the Rambam passes like Reish Lakish, so it's only black blood, right? Only black blood. That ultimately, again, you're not chayiv kares for, it'll still be asr, but you won't be chayiv kares for. But halacha lemaisa, again, anything that's red after that, you'll be asr. Va'al adam akarnos pesoch aleiv, va'adam akaza, kol zman shu mekaleach v'yotzei. Aval adam ha-shoseis b'tchilas akaza, kodem shiaschi lekaleach, but the blood that trickles out at first before it begins to spurt, v'adam ha-shoseis basof akaza, kishiaschi adam lifsok, ein chayovin alav. So I'll say, so the Rambam essentially adopts kind of like a hybrid model. So first of all, you're only chayiv for, it's only called dam hanefesh once it becomes red. So the little bit of blood, of black blood that comes out, ultimately, again, you're not chayiv for. You're only chayiv when it comes out with force, when it spurts or when it flows. If it trickles, both at the beginning and at the end, that blood might be punishable by a lav, but Allah chalamai said not punishable by karis. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva mechayiv safik asafik mila. We'll say, incredible Gemara here. So Rabbi Akiva says that you are chayiv for safek mi'ila asham tali. So we'll say, so again, the case that we're talking about over here is where halacha lemaisa, I went ahead and I committed a case of safek mi'ila. Mi'ila means inappropriate use of Beis HaMikdash property. I committed a safek. In other words, I may have misappropriated. I may have misused Beis HaMikdash property. I'm not sure. So what do I do in such a case like this? So Rabbi Akiva says, on such a situation, you bring in asham tali. Chacham pochim, chacham say your pater. Your potter. Normally, we'll say, let's say you went ahead and you took something from the Beis HaMikdash. I took wood from the Beis HaMikdash and I built myself a deck. Right? That's mi'ila. So what do you have to do when you have to pay your mi'ila? You have to repay the principal plus a penalty fifth. So Rabbi Akiva agrees that halacha lemaisa, even though I bring in asham talui, I don't have to pay back anything to the Beis HaMikdash until I definitively know that I did something wrong. Rabbi Tarfon says, malozeh mevi shtei asham. So we'll say, now, interestingly enough, Rabbi Akiva will say as follows. If one day I find out that what? That I did in fact commit an act of mi'ila, so what's the halacha? I pay back the Beis HaMikdash, and what else do? I bring another karban. I bring an asham vadai, because now I know that I did something wrong. So Rabbi said, Rabbi Akiva's model of suffik mi'ila, so is that quite fascinating. You'll start off by bringing asham taloi, and then if it turns out that in fact you did commit an act of mi'ila, you have to pay back. Okay, that's fine. But then you'll also have to bring another asham. I'm Rabbi Tamar. Rabbi says, why would you obligate a person to bring two ashamas? Rather, Rabbi Tamar says, here's what I suggest. Ela maybe mi'ila v'chumsha, v'yavi asham b'shnei slaim, v'yomar. Rabbi Tamar says like this. I think what you should do as follows. If you're not sure if you committed a mi'ila, pay back the Beis HaMikdash. House always wins, right? Pay back the Beis HaMikdash regardless. Bring a karban. And what? V'yomar. In vaday ma'alti zu mi'ila. See, if I definitely committed a mi'ila, this karban should be my asham. V'im safek ma'alti. But if I didn't do mi'ila, hama'os nadava. The money that I'm paying back to the Beis HaMikdash should be a donation. Va'asham taloi. And my carbon should be an asham taloi. Shemiminshu mevi alhoda mevi alhoda. Because they're both saying the same type of animal, a ram, that is used for an asham taloi, is also used for an asham vadai. So Rabbi Tarfon says, just close it up right now. Pay back to Beis HaMikdash, bring in asham with a condition. Pay back to Beis HaMikdash if you did mi'ila. This is repayment for my mi'ila. If I didn't do mi'ila, it's a donation. Right? If I did commit mi'ila, this is my asham vadai. If I didn't commit mi'ila, it's an asham taloi. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, that's great. Nirin dvar b'mi'ila mu'uta. Hari sheva liyadasevi mi'ila b'me'a mana. Lo yafa lo shevi asham b'shtei slaim. Lo yavi safik mi'ila b'me'a mana. Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Tarfon, that's a great idea. As long as what? The amount of money in question is relatively small. Right? As long as you're dealing with a relatively small amount of money, that sounds like a great idea. But if you're dealing with the potential of a significant amount of mi'ila, that's a lot of money to front for something I may or may not have done. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, mi'ila muta. Rabbi Akiva will agree to Rabbi Tarfon when it's a case of quote-unquote small mi'ila. If it's a relatively small amount, then Rabbi Akiva will agree with Rabbi Tarfon's recommendation. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon. Vim nefesh. Rabbi Kiva understands that the pasuk Ve'im Nefesh teaches me that what? That halacha l'maisa, for safek mi'ila, I bring an ashtar. So what says, just saying that you saw this thick machlokes over here. I'm not sure if I committed the act of mi'ila or not. Rabbi Tarfon says, asham taloi. Now remember again, as we've said before, this is not the paradigmatic case of asham taloi. Remember again, what's the paradigmatic case of asham taloi? What's the halacha? Asham taloi is normally brought when? Two items. Ikva isura, the isur is there. I consumed one of the items. I don't know which one I consumed. That's the paradigmatic case of asham taloi. This does not seem to fit the criteria. Rabbi Akiva is going to understand this is a unique situation. So Rabbi Akiva says, Ve'im nefesh, we'll see in the Joshua in just a moment, teaches me that on even Savek mi'ilos, I bring in asham taloi. Chacham portra, Chacham say no. This is not an asham taloi case, and therefore you are positive. What are they arguing about? Here we go. The Rabbi Akiva Savar Lemeidin El Yon Mitachton, Rabbanan Savri Ein Lemeidin El Yon Mitachton. So we'll say, here's what we know: there is a juxtaposition between the sections of Mi'ila and Asham Taloi. First, you have Mi'ila, and then you have Asham Taloi. Rabbi Akiva learns out that what we could learn the upper one from the lower one, which means we learn out based on the juxtaposition. The upper one is Mi'ila, from the lower one Asham Taloi. The fact that Mi'ila is juxtaposed to Asham Taloi tells me that what. That you could bring in Asham Talui for a case of Safek Mi'ila. But Rabbanan Savri Ein Lemeidin El Yon Mitachton. The Rabbanan will say, no, we do not learn out Mi'ila from Asham Talui, even though they are juxtaposed. Amar Papa, Rapapa says, Lemeidin El Yon Mitachton. It's not true. Under normal circumstances, you could learn something, literally the upper from the lower, which means you could learn out something from section A based on section B, which follows it. The im came safun beben bakar lo mishkachas. Because without this lemedin al yomi tachton, we would not know that a chatos and an ola ultimately again are shechted in the north. So why is it that the Rabbanan hold that you are pater from an asham talui in a case of safek mi'ila, digimiri mitzvos mechatos? Because I will say the Rabbanan learn out exer shava, ultimately again of mitzvos from chatos, to tell us what? We'll say in general when it comes to chatos, when is the chatos brought? As something ultimate for an avera, for an infraction, where if you were to do it intentionally, you'd be chayiv karis. For unintentional violation, you bring a chatos. And in a case like that, where there's a safek, you bring an asham talui. That's the paradigm. Therefore, we'll say in any case where Allah for intentional violation is a chayiv karis, unintentional, it's a chatos. Not sure you're bringing asham talui. La fuke mi'ila. Rabbi Yosef, Mi'ila is excluded from this paradigm. Why? Rabbi Yosef, first, why line chaf beis and beis? The ain chayavan al zadon karis. Because Rabbi Yosef, for Mi'ila, even intentional Mi'ila, you are not chayiv karis. Quite interesting. Disanya, hezid di Mi'ila. Rabbi Yosef, what happens if a person commits an act of Mi'ila intentionally? Rabbi Omer b'misa. Rabbi says, you chayiv misa. Chum on ba'asar. The chum say ultimately again that it's only a lav. Rabbi Akiva sav, Rabbi Akiva will hold. Rabbi Akiva says the gzera shava mitzvos mitzvos will only teach me, will only apply the gzera shava by chatos that is brought for chilev consumption. And this is what we learn it out for. Ma lahalon, just like by a chatos that's brought for consumption of chilev, bikavua, ultimately again, that is a carbon kavua, it's not, meaning it's not a carbon olaviorate, afkan so to by an asham talui bikavua. So we'll say Rabbi Akiva understands that that Gzir Shava teaches me that an Asham Talui is not what's called the carbon olaviorate. An Asham Talui is not based on your personal financial circumstances, but rather it is an objective carbon, or I should say it is a carbon with an objective valuation. We'll discuss that valuation in just a moment. La Fuke olaviorate. Dulo, Rabbanan Savri in Gzir Shava Lamechza. The Rabbanan will say there's no such thing as just making a partial gzera shava. When you make a gzera shava, you equate the two items in all areas. Mechlad Rabbi Akiva Savi Yesh gzera shava lamechza. Is that the Rabbi Akiva holds that you can make a gzera shava for partial purposes? Says the Gemara Ela Duchuli Alma in gzera shava lamechza. Everyone agrees that what? You can't make a partial gzera shava. Ela Hainu Tam Rabbi Akiva. So what's Rabbi Akiva start that ultimately again that you're chayiv an asham talui for Safik Mi'ila, Dharmakra Vi'im Nefesh. There's a Vav. Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon. The Vav connects the two sections. The Yilmat El Yon Mitachton. And therefore tells you to learn out the laws of Mi'ila from Asham Taloi. And therefore to teach me that even for a case of Safik Mi'ila, I have to bring in Asham Taloi. V'Rabbanan Savri Tachton Hu Digarme El Yon. Ultimately, again, the Rabbanan will say, it's the lower section that we learn out from the upper section. To teach me what? La Asham Bekesef Shkam. To teach me, I will say that Halacha Lamaisin Asham Talui has a minimum valuation of 2 Shkalim. For Rabbi Akiva Sabar, Ein Hekesh Lamechzer. Rabbi Akiva says there's no such thing as a partial comparison. Mechlad Rabbanan Sabri Yesh Hekesh Lamechzer. Do the Rabbanan hold that there is a partial comparison? V'hak Hamelan De Ein Hekesh Lamechzer. D'chuli Alma Ein Hekesh Lamechzer. You're right, in reality, everyone agrees that Halacha Lamaisin there is no such thing as a partial comparison. So say, here's the logic of the Rabbanan. Digmiri mitzvos mitzvos. Ultimately, again, they learn the gzera shava mitzvos mitzvos. Afke me'akesha. I will say that gzera shava ultimately again removes these two items from the hekesh. Rabbi Akiva asham bekesef shkalim nafli. So I will say the Rabbanan learned out that the juxtaposition teaches me that asham tola is a minimum valuation of 2 shkalim. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn that out from? Mizos toras ha'asham. He learns out from the phrase, this is the halach of the asham. Torah achos. L'chol ha'ashamos, la'asham de'bekesef b'shkalim. We'll say, it teaches me that all ashamos are the same. And this gives me the minimum valuation of an asham talui, that it is 2 shkalim. V'rabbanan, afagav dechsev zos ras ha'asham, istrich l'michtab v'im nefesh. According to the Rabbanan, even though it says zos ras ha'asham, we still need the vav. Why? Because vav mosval inyan rishon, v'yimol tachton me'elyon. You can learn out ultimately, again, the lower section from the upper section. V'imi zos trasa asham, because if you were to just learn it out, the valuation from zos trasa asham, hava amina, I would have said ki amina Torah achas l'chol ashamos. when we say that there's one halacha for all Hashem offerings, hani mili b'shar Hashemus v'adoin. That means with only regular Hashemus. Aval Hashem talui kevan dal safe kaasi emalo yisvego chamura mivado. I might have thought that Hashem talui should be no more chamer than ultimately again than a vaday offering. In other words, that an Hashem talui should be no more chamer than a chatos. Ma vado chatos bas danka af safek. Safek Hashem bar danka. Just like you could bring a relatively inexpensive chatos, only valued at a danka. Danka is a small amount. I could bring even a Hashem talui that amount. Ultimately, again, therefore, the pasuk says the vav. Ultimately, the vav is mosif on the inyan rishon to teach me that what that halacha lemaisa, even the asham tali must have a minimum valuation of two shkalim. Right? So we have to stop over here. I'm sorry for the speed at which we did Amud Beis. I apologize. It was often my daf yomi timing this morning a little bit. All right, Emirat Hashem, we'll pick up here Emirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkalim. I'm sorry. Good touch.